bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Tonight, game number 158 in the regular season. And the next two games will be Interleague here in Pittsburgh against the Pirates, against the National League. Now, so far this season, the Orioles have gone 8-10 Interleague. And that includes a 2-0 record against these Pirates in a couple of games at Camden Yards back in early June. And now it's late in the season. It's coming to an end. And right now it's all about the youngsters, because tonight Austin Hayes will make yet another start in the outfield. Chance Siskel will make his second consecutive start behind the plate. And tonight Anthony Santander, who has been pretty much buried on the bench, tonight he will start in the outfield. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the manager's report right after this.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, the Orioles completed their final homestand with a win over the Rays on Sunday. And this is an if J.J. Hardy played his last home game with the club. Is that pretty much the perfect script? I mean, you couldn't have drawn it up much better than what happened for him.
Well, the perfect script for J.J. would be that the Orioles won the game. And that happened. But it's one of those days, moments, you know, Rock, where you just, you're sitting there in the dugout and you go, yeah. Really, that's just a great reminder of how good a player J.J.'s been for the Orioles. And we'll see where baseball life takes us. But it was a great day for him. And I'm really, I think we're all, as teammates, so to speak, of J.J., so appreciative of the way the fans reacted. Our guy, it doesn't surprise me. Our fans, you know, understand what he's meant to us. And it was a good day for him. And, of course, he played real well. And a reminder of, you know, what we've missed this year. You know, I think he impacts his teammates in so many ways that don't show up analytically, that you can't get people to understand. And when you don't have him, it's really a loss.
Chance Siskel hit his second home run in 7 games. He's in the lineup again tonight. But more importantly, I know you said you were going to ask around with some of the pitchers and maybe even the plate umpire. What's kind of the consensus and what you saw of his work behind the plate?
So far, so good. I'm certainly not going to broadcast what people say, and it's going to more be about what we see. And you know, it's not necessarily the brain surgery people make it out to be. It's a pretty open venue. You know, I think what you notice is that you didn't notice him. I said after the game, and I hope that continues. But you know, we've got some great options for next year and down the road, and we hope Chance is one of those. But he presented himself well. We'll see what the next couple of games bring.
Dylan Bundy was scratched from that start. Have we seen the last of him pitching this season, or is there any possibility he could get one more start?
Well, there's always that possibility. You know, I just left the training room. You know, he's still treating that hamstring. It wasn't, you know, wasn't like he and Tillman were in cahoots and Chris and him wanted to start. He wanted to pitch again and still does. But I'd say it's less than 50%.
And Adam Jones, the leg soreness, out of the lineup again tonight?
Yeah, he's going to, you know, go day-to-day with him. We'll see if he... If it's in everybody's best interest for him to play again. But, you know, I had a long talk with him today about a lot of things, and that was one of them. And, you know, a guy that posts up the way he does, I think he deserves that respect.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. What's the latest with Tim Beckham? Because he had, obviously, the hamstring injury Saturday night.
Yeah, Tim's improved somewhat. It's probably not an injury that you would DL him on during the season. You could. I'm hoping that he's a player, hopefully in Tampa, but he's fine. I think we caught it in time. I think there'll be a point where he's going to be available to us. And that, you know, that's the thing that people don't get. Like, you look in football, a guy may go down on a play, go to the sideline, then come back in a game. You can't do that in baseball. You know, it's a big difference. And that's one of the many things about playing a sport every day.
With the lineup tonight, also includes, besides Siskel, Anthony Santander is getting a start in right field. Is this kind of the balancing act where you always want to put your best foot forward, obviously, be competitive, these games still matter, you want to win them, but it also, there is an opportunity here to do some evaluation.
Exactly. You said it well, and I did what you said, and you know, we've got some guys that I think everybody's going to play at some point in the next 5 games, but some of these looks are dwindling. You know, we know that Anthony potentially could be with us next year. Doesn't mean we have to carry him next year, but you know, every chance you get to take a look at him, you need to help yourself make good decisions. Plus, you know, he's got a chance to help us win tonight.
I probably know the answer to this, but what are your thoughts on an interleague series this late in the season?
You know, it is what it is, Rock. Somebody's playing an opening day. Somebody, and people that are supposedly a lot smarter than you and I, or I shouldn't speak for you. you know, if we sat down, most times when you sit down and talk to the challenges they face, you see why they had to do it this way. It's tough on pitchers, especially we all know that interleague plays, well, it's tougher on the American League teams coming over here, and the National League teams coming to our park really don't have any disadvantage. So it's a challenge. But and biggest thing is trying to keep people from getting hurt, getting ready for it as much as the game itself.
I'm going to assume at some point you've seen Trevor Williams in Bradenton or at Smith Stadium. And what's the word on him?
Well, he actually pitched against us in a B game, which we filmed. And, you know, hard sinker, slider. He's actually trying to use the slider a lot more. He's one of those rare guys that's almost 70% hard sinker. But against us, we've noticed how that changes. So we'll see what he presents himself. He was traded for a minor league, one of their minor league pitching coordinators. He's out of Arizona State from the by way of the Marlins. So I asked our guys in advance meeting what you think we could get for one of our coaches. So we'll see.
Thank you, Buck.
All right, back in Pittsburgh and with Dave Johnson. I'll tell you, Dave, talking about Kevin Gausman, he gets to start tonight trying to become a 12-game winner. Lately, he's looked as good as maybe anyone in the American League.
Yeah, I think aside from maybe two games over his last maybe 12 to 15, of course he had that little boo-boo against the Yankees a couple, two, three games back, which was unfortunate because that was the time where the Orioles kind of needed him to step up. But, hey, the best pitchers every now and then will get hit around, and that wasn't his game. But you are right, Joe, this is the type of second half that he kind of had last year that we were hoping he was going to build on going in and coming out of spring training this year. But it didn't happen, and it was unfortunate because, boy, the Orioles could have used him or this type of pitcher in the first half. Who knows where they'd be sitting right now if that was the case. But he made some adjustments, and here he is again.
You know, let me ask you, why didn't this happen in the first half of the season?
You know, I thought that I have a couple different reasons, and probably none of them are right, but I'll throw them out there. What the heck? You asked, right?
I did.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's my mistake.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have enough time. But when you look at what he was doing, you know, he's got that Vulcan split that he uses. And I thought when he started, and I'm not sure about this, but it looked to me like he was throwing more change-ups than the Vulcan split. The split drops more, and I think it doesn't rotate the same, and I think hitters were picking that up, and he was trying to use it as an out pitch or even earlier in counts, and guys were laying off of it. And when he started throwing a straight change a little bit more and throwing it for strikes, then all of a sudden they had to respect that. And then he threw his fastball at 94 to 98, which is obviously a plus, at times plus fastball. It made his fastball better. So his changeup and fastball working back and forth, I think, made both pitches better. And overall, in the end, I think that's what made him a better pitcher. Yeah. And hopefully he continues that going into next year.
You know, it's funny is you talk to a pitching coach or a manager, you ask, well, what's wrong? You say, well, it's all about – the stock answer is it's all about fastball command. It's not always that case.
It's not. And because I didn't think his fastball command was awful, but there may be a reason why if at times he did – maybe get behind more and not trust his fastball as much is because he was getting behind hitters. They weren't chasing that split. And therefore, look, even when you got that good fastball at 94 to 98, when you throw it 2-1, 3-0, and 3-1, and they're whacking it all over the ballpark, you hesitate to throw that pitch over. So I think when he felt, or when he found out again that he can throw that pitch over when they don't know what's coming, and he can use that changeup back and forth, it made both pitches better. He threw more strikes, and therefore he was better. Because let's face it, the first half statistically, he was at one time, he was the worst pitcher in American League. That's hard to believe that he had like somewhere around 65 innings and over 95 to 100 hits with the type of stuff he has. That shouldn't even happen when he's bad.
Well, he's at a 171 ERA in his last five starts, so he's on the hill tonight in Pittsburgh. And again, the Geico Manager's Report, it was brought to you by Geico. He was saving you money on car insurance. It's been in Geico's wheelhouse for over 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, it's so easy, a caveman can do it. Now, Dave, late in the season, just a handful of games remaining. The youngster is getting a look right now. Austin Hayes has started 11 consecutive games. Tonight, Chance Cisco, his second consecutive start doing the catching. And, hey, Santander gets off the bench tonight, too.
Yeah, good to see Santander in there because, you know, he's a Rule 5 guy, hurt most of the year on the DL. He's got almost no playing time up to this point. So with five games remaining, hopefully he's going to get in there somewhat regularly here. And Buck can kind of see what he can do. And, you know, going into next season, he still has Rule 5 status for about half the season, I think, going into next year. So, yeah, it's just good to see Anthony in there. And, of course, with Cisco, He's been, to me, a pleasant surprise. I thought he caught a good game the other day. It's the first time we saw him start, and he swung the bat really well, which we've always been told, look, this guy can swing the bat. He's a line drive hitter. He's actually hit a couple home runs. I'm real impressed with Austin Hayes.
That's funny, though. You talk to Buck, and Buck always says, don't always believe your eyes in spring training, and don't believe them in September.
Yeah, and I agree with him about spring training, but I don't agree with him in September numbers. Because maybe here the last three or four days with both clubs out of it here in Pittsburgh, you can say, okay, well, a pitcher may not have been facing their A lineup or, you know, things like that. Okay, I get that. Maybe the offensively the Orioles aren't going to face their A pitcher, although Williams tonight is a guy that has made a bunch of starts for them. But to me, over the last three or four weeks in the month of September, that's pretty good baseball we were playing. We're playing the Red Sox, who were trying to stay ahead of the Yankees. We were playing the Yankees, who were trying to stay in first place of the wild card and maybe catch the Red Sox. We were playing Tampa Bay Rays, who don't want to finish below the Orioles. I mean, I don't know. That's pretty good baseball to me.
Without a doubt. So let me ask you this. I mean, just a handful of games remaining. You try to win as many as you can. At this stage, it's about evaluation as well for Buck Showalter.
Yeah, I think, look, winning's important, and it's the most important thing overall. But where the Orioles are now, it's evaluation time. They only have five games to do it. The good thing is that they only have five games to do it because you want to be in it for a long period of time, and they were kind of in it up until a week ago or a couple days ago mathematically. But right now it's time to let's go. Let's see those other guys play. You can mix in the veterans. They can still get some at-bats here and there, mix and match those guys around. But let's go ahead and see some major league time here with some of these guys who may make the club or possibly make the club out of spring training next
year. Hey, another Buckism is this team will be as good as it can be. Was this team as good as it can be?
Well, I don't think they were because I think some of the starting pitching clearly Miley could be better and has been better. Ubaldo has been better. He could have been better. And Tillman, obviously, I'm still flummoxed on the Tillman thing. I don't understand what's going on with Chris.
I'll get back to you on that,
though. Okay.
All right, Dave. In Pittsburgh tonight, it's a fantastic night for baseball, and we are delighted you could join us. Stay tuned. Oriole Baseball is coming up next. All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Dave Johnson back in Pittsburgh in the loss column tonight in no uncertain terms. I think, Dave, mentioned the Orioles tonight, just not real competitive. You say the same thing about Kevin Gausman?
Yeah, Kevin just didn't have a very good night. He just really didn't locate his fastball well enough to where he could use his off-speed pitches and maybe he'd get some swings and misses or get them to chase. So, unfortunately, he got behind hitters, and then when he had to come in there with the fastball, they hit it. So, he went up against a couple pretty good hitters, McCutchen being one of them, and McCutchen with the grand slam was the big blow there, but it really just wasn't a good night all around for Gausman. He just really couldn't get anything going, couldn't settle in, and before you know it, they were down big.
Yeah, I think you made the point during the broadcast. I mean, Kevin Gausman has been pitching really well the last couple of months of the regular season, and now he's got to go home in the offseason and think about this game tonight.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll think about it a lot, but wear on him a little bit over the next couple, three or four days when you got to put that uniform on, and then I'm not getting ready. I don't get to go back out there, and I don't get to end on a good note. I get to end on a game like that to where I got knocked out early, didn't give my team a chance to win. But going into next year, he'll be, he's 11-11, so he had a good second half. What he's got to figure out is how to get that first half going like he got the second half going over the past two seasons, because the Orioles can't afford to him to take 15 to 20 starts before he figures things out.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened this year. And you look at the other side, Dave, Trevor Williams, a right-hander for Pittsburgh, and a guy that I'm sure most Oriole fans hadn't heard too much about. And he comes out here, and he hadn't won a ball game since June 4th, and he comes out tonight, and he made the Orioles non-competitive.
Yeah, more than anything, the reason he hadn't won a ball game since then is because Pirates don't score many runs. And there was many games there that he had pitched and pitched well enough to win, but it didn't happen for him. Of course, the Pirates bats, busted out tonight and scored a bunch for him. But he pitched really well, and he stayed out in the middle of the plate. He used his fastball exactly like the scouting report said. He's going to throw the sinking fastball in the low 90s. He'll run a four-seamer up there at the top of the strike zone to get you to chase or try to get a pop-up or a fly ball. He did that a couple different times. He got guys to chase on the fastball up for a couple strikeouts. So they knew what he was going to do, but they still couldn't counteract it. And Well, you got to give him credit for being able to do that.
You got to do that. He won the ball game. He earned it. Now, it's time to look ahead to tomorrow night. You got Gabriel Ynoa pitching. What are your thoughts on him? We saw him in spring training. He had a chance to be in the starting rotation. That didn't happen eventually. He's come up. He's made some appearances now. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, Ynoa did not have a good AAA season for probably about the first four-fifths of that. But he really turns on in his last 3 to 5 starts in Norfolk, and he turned the corner a little bit. His slider got a little bit better. His fastball command was a little bit better, and he put both of those pitches together and attacked the strike zone, and all of a sudden the results were there. You know, this is a really fickle game, Joe. I mean, you can throw really well for 10 starts and have awful stats. You can throw bad for 10 starts and have pretty decent starts. But over the long haul, things have a tendency to some extent kind of even out a little bit. Well, because he pitched so well at the end of the year, he did get a chance to come up because, let's face it, they didn't bring too many starters up out of that AAA rotation. And he was one that they did. And in the end, he's actually thrown the ball pretty good in the opportunities that he's had up here in the past couple weeks.
So we'll see him tomorrow night. By the way, Dave, congratulations. Outstanding work in the ballgame tonight. You had an interesting day. You were, you know, around the house. I'm sure you're doing chores around the house, maybe cleaning out the garage and, you know, staying busy, keeping the wife happy. And you get the phone call, you got to come to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I'd never been here, so I was kind of excited to get that opportunity to come up and work with you for a couple games. And, yeah, so, you know, I just had to kind of pack the clubs and get back to the clubhouse.
The clubs?
Get to the parking lot. Oh, I mean,
you brought the clubs
with
you?
No, they were in the garage. They were in the garage, and I had to move them, and yeah, so.
All right, well, great job.
All right, thanks.
I mean, emergency. It's like a, you know, a pitcher getting injured, and you got to come out of the bullpen. You get all the time necessary to warm up.
Yeah.
So by tomorrow night, you'll be nice and warm.
I was in traffic at like 6:20.
Yeah, there you go.
Come to the airport.
That's it. That's heroic work you did today. All right, Dave. Right away, Kevin Gausman was in difficulty in the first inning. One out, a single by Marte, and then guess what? That's when McCutchen came up to hit, and he began his big night. Line drive over Manny. That's a base hit. That's extra bases. That rattles up against the wall. So Mancini's going to dig it out. Marte has scored, and McCutchen into second base. The ball back into third. So that's an RBI double. It's a 1-0 Bucko lead in the first inning. There you go. McCutchen, his 80th RBI. He was just getting started. Moments after that, that's when the rookies, and a good one too in the National League, Josh Bell, came up to hit. The ground ball past Davis. Inside the bag at first base. That's going to be extra bases. So McCutchen can crawl in, and there's Bell racing into second base. The throw back in is much too late. So back-to-back doubles against Kevin Gausman. It's a 2-0 Pirates lead right away. Yep, right away. Then came the bottom of the second inning. Again, one out, bases empty. A walk to Moroff, the number 8 batter. Then with two outs, Frazier came up. He doubled. And then Marte came up to hit, and Kevin Gausman walked him. So suddenly the Pirates had the bases loaded. Andrew McCutchen came up to hit. McCutchen, who coming into the game tonight, had 97 plate appearances in the major leagues without ever hitting a grand slam. Well, tonight, McCutchen took that off the bucket list. The count 2-1. Here comes fastball, fly ball, deep right center, making an out. No, that's a grand slam. Andrew McCutchen, opposite field, with the bases loaded, 6-0 Pittsburgh. So McCutchen, first time he'd ever done that in the major leagues, connect for a grand slam. At that point, he had knocked in 5 runs in his first 2 at-bats. Well, eventually, it was 7-0. The Pirates opened up lead, and the Orioles tonight did not get on the board until the top of the 6th inning with 2 outs and the bases empty when the big fella came up to swing a bat. And the 1-0 delivery. Davis launches one out toward right center. The big fella, did ya? Wave it bye-bye. Yes, he did. Into the seats in right center. That 26th home run, 7-1 Pirates. Ah, but Andrew McCutchen wasn't done yet, because with Yakabonis pitching in the bottom of the 6th inning with 2 outs and the bases empty, Frazier singled, and then Marte and infield singled to give McCutchen another at-bat with runners on base. Fastball drilled to deep right field. Way back to the scoreboard, and that ball is gone. That's a home run. McCutchen has homered again. He's had a two-home run night. He's had a grand slam. He's had a three-run homer. He's had an RBI double. He's had eight RBIs in the first six innings. It is 10-1 Pittsburgh. Or is that 10-1 McCutchen? That's exactly what that was. 10-1 McCutchen. Big night for him. Big night for the Pirates as they win the ballgame 10-1, the first of a two-game series. And we'll continue right after this. A tough loss here tonight, 10-1. They're beaten by the Pirates in the first of a two-game series. So not a real competitive game. It's Kevin Gausman tonight giving up six runs on five hits in just four innings of work. After the game, Buck Showalter met with the media.
You've seen, obviously, Kevin pitching so well this stretch. What'd you see tonight?
Just command. Just elevated some balls, you know. Probably, obviously, wasn't his best. But, I'm not going to sit here. And he's pitched some good baseball for us. Tonight wasn't one of those.
You know, he's had, you know, he started the year with, a lot of rocky starts. He ends the year with one, but then there were a number of good ones earlier. What do you think really the difference was? Was it just command, this and this one?
I don't want to oversimplify. There's a lot of things that go into pitching. Well, it's not that simple. You do know that is a prerequisite for success up here, and that's kind of what their pitcher did tonight. But if you ask me one thing, that's really what he grasped more is command of the fastball, and everything else came into play. But, it was kind of – it can be good and long that he knows what he's got to do to be successful. He knows when it gets out of whack. And you know, I think young pitchers at this level learn not to just because the results are there sometime. There's some things you get away with that you know you're going to pay the price for down the road if you don't straighten it out.
Going along with Rich's questions, one of the things that he struggled with in that first half was putting hitters away with two strikes. And it seemed like, you know, everyone, you know, you look at the McCutchen grand slam, but before that, he had struggled with kind of putting guys away. Yeah.
I hate to keep – it's a command issue. You know, you're trying to go down away and you throw it middle, you're going to pay a price to hitters at this level. And, Kevin's shown that he's very capable of pitching very solidly at this level. So hopefully, I've said many times, some of the best development of players happens in the offseason. You step back and go, okay, here's reality. Because sometimes, this time of year, reality doesn't quite hit you like it will in about a month.
This is the first time Orioles have started an all-rookie outfield in 34 years.
Tomorrow might be the second time. No.
I mean, were you happy to see them all get out there?
Well, I wish we couldn't play them, but that would require different circumstances than the one-loss record. But, that was nothing by design. It's just our best foot for us to make to be a better organization as we go forward. So we'll see what tomorrow brings. But it was I didn't really think about it until you brought it up. But give me another one, I'll break that record. You give me a little heads up on something else I could do. Give you a nice note. I know you're searching for them right now. What else? We good?
All right, that is Skip Buck Showalter with the media after the game. Really, Kevin Gausman just not real competitive tonight. And his biggest mistake was he kept on putting base runners in front of Andrew McCutchen. He gave up a single in the first, and the McCutchen got to him for an RBI double. And then he walked the number 8 hitter in the second inning and then walked the number 2 hitter later in the second inning to load the bases. Andrew McCutchen came up to hit, and he grand slammed. And so really, Kevin Gausman just was not able to keep the bases empty in front of Andrew McCutchen, because McCutchen, he's going to hurt a lot of pitchers. But with the bases empty, not so much damage. Kevin Gausman, he went four innings, gave up six runs, five hits, a couple of walks, and he had five strikeouts. The postgame show brought to you by Browns Honda City. By Happy with Browns, back with more right after this.